The first reading from the Book of Kings and the Gospel passage from St. Mark that we have just heard tell us about two widows, both of whom, for the sake of Jesus, yes, the widow of ancient times was a kind of an anticipation of what our Lord would say a few days before he was be condemned to death. That out of their poverty, out of their need, with no thought to the material consequences of giving everything to Jesus, illustrated precisely what it means to be charitable, for the sake of being charitable, to love God as he loves us, not for any personal gain, practicality, but simply because it is good to practice love. The great commandment of love has two facets, as our Lord pointed out. First is the first three commandments of the Decalogue, the love of God. This is what he commended in the widow while he was sitting before the treasury. The greater character and quality of a gift, no strings attached. A gift which is of oneself entirely. And in respect to the seven other commandments of the law, all of them expressions of love in one form or another, to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's one of those mysterious phrases that everybody today says they cannot understand. How do you love yourself? By loving yourself and your neighbor as Jesus loves us from the cross. As Jesus loves us here from the sacrament. That is how we are able to escape from that, if you want to call it, almost universal heresy of present days, pragmatism. It doesn't work. How much did you make by sacrificing 2 pennies on the stock market? Zero. Maybe you lost something too. And our Lord has said, Ed, the widow woman gave more in her 2 pennies than everybody else combined because they gave out of their surplus. They risked nothing. It was a practical gift. Whereas the widow woman risked everything from a worldly point of view. But our Lord went on to make one further comment, and this is perhaps the first one that we should meditate upon. Her gift of 2 pennies was worth more than everything else combined that was given there. Why? Because she was out preparing or helping to prepare an expression of divine presence in our midst, but of a tabernacle which is within each of us and in the church, mystical body of Christ. And our Lord, to help us to understand why it is that charity, rather than practicality, must be the first basis of all our conduct, became a child of the Virgin Mary, in order that in his body, formed in her womb, he would be himself present in his tabernacle. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the old days, in English, used to be translated and tabernacled amongst us. A place where we find him, not only find him, but become also members of him. That is the first. And the second gift that we listened to, the widow with her child who sacrificed the last little bit to eat in a great famine of 7 years, to feed the prophet who was also hard up, you might say, and needed something to eat. And he encouraged them, simply do as the Lord asks you to do. You will not regret it. And indeed, the Lord sustained them until the famine was over. Someone will ask, but what if they died? I know lots of people who sacrifice and die. Even if we die for our Lord, we live for him. He has made death on the cross an instrument of life, not of condemnation. All that is necessary on our part is to be united to him, to believe in him, that what he teaches is true, and more than that, to place all our hopes in him, not to be concerned because we must suffer for him, walk in his footsteps, be ridiculed, be mocked, as the 8th Beatitude, but blessed are you, jump for joy like John the Baptist in the womb of his mother when Our Lady brought Jesus to introduce him while he was still in the womb to that last of the prophets and the greatest of the prophets, who not only foretold the coming but pointed out the Savior. Who is the Savior? The one who is still here in our presence, in our midst. The one who will be offered, not again, but the same offering, the same sacrifice. Sacrifice as on Calvary, but here in sacramental form, so that we might come to enjoy that food that is never exhaustible, that is never exhausted. The food that came down from heaven, the bread of angels, the body of Christ and his blood. And we know that if we are lifted up with him on the cross, we will continue to live even though we die. If you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will not die. I will lift you up. I will raise you up in the resurrection. This is what is meant. We say that death, instead of being a symbol, an instrument of condemnation for sin, has now become an instrument for everlasting life. And finally, we want to indicate how, in a certain sense, our Lord alludes to his Holy Mother. Blessed is she among women. Blessed is she in the spirit of poverty and all the other Beatitudes. It is with her and through her that we come, as it were, to know Jesus, can eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, find him in the tabernacle of our hearts. Let us be sure to ask her to continue to help us, to guide us, to appreciate what St. Bonaventure means when he says the most practical of studies is the study of the Blessed Trinity, is the study of our great Savior. Paradoxically, if we study and live in accord with those basic principles, they are more than regulations, impositions to restrict us from causing any trouble. They are two guideposts in living a life of goodness and charity and being always ready to receive our Lord worthily in Holy Communion. If we are ready to receive him thus, we are already ready to go for the moment that Jesus calls us to everlasting life in heaven. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Christus.